Tonight's message is called Evidences of Salvation. Last week in our study, we looked at verse 5 and touched on verse 4, which we looked at the previous week in this study. Tonight in our study, we'll look at verses 6 to 10, but we'll read verse 5 with them to get the context of the verses we will study tonight. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now my prayer tonight is that God the Holy Spirit would illuminate the scriptures and show God's born-again, blood-washed saints evidences of their salvation in Christ. These evidences are a work of God within the believer's life, and in no way can they be manufactured by man. Before salvation in our natural state, there are none of these evidences. And what assurance these evidences can bring the born-again child of God as we look at the scriptures tonight and as the Holy Spirit teaches us the things of Christ. Now, as I mentioned when we studied verse 4, some say election is strong meat, but we see Paul writing to young believers. This was a young church. It had only been established for a short period of time, but we see Paul writing to this young church about this wonderful truth of God's electing grace, of God's election of a people to salvation, all according to his grace and all according to his mercy. So we see then that when some say you shouldn't speak to babes in Christ of this precious truth, the scriptures speak otherwise. Because again, this was a very young church, and Paul's teaching them a great truth. He's bringing forth, again, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, of course, this precious, precious truth of the doctrine of God's electing grace. So it's not to be kept from babes in Christ. It's not to be kept until they so-called mature in man's eyes to a point where they can accept it. No, we see that Paul here preached all the counsel of God to God's saints. He knows that they've been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He knows they've been saved and redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows they're only born again by the Holy Spirit of God, so he holds back nothing. And this is what the true sent gospel preacher of God is to do. He's to hold back nothing, and he's not to fear man, what man can do to him. The work of God, the Father, in choosing a particular people in Christ before the foundation of the world, and the work of God the Son and the perfect redemption of his chosen people, and the sanctifying work of God the Holy Spirit when he regenerates the people of God and enlightens the minds of his chosen people to the sovereign grace of God through the perfect finished work of Christ is what the preacher is to proclaim. We are to proclaim that salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord in its planning, and it's of the Lord in its execution, and it's of the Lord in its application. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. And our sovereign God loves his people. He loves his elect with an everlasting love. Why? Because it pleases him to do so. It is he who wrote the believer's name in the Lamb's book of life in eternity. Why? Again, because it pleased him to do so. He sent, God sent, his beloved Son to redeem his people, his saints, with his precious, precious blood. Why? Because it pleased God to do so. God poured out his eternal wrath on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, because it pleased him to do so in the place of his people. And he bought us under the preaching of the glorious gospel of salvation in and through Christ alone, because it pleased God to do so, beloved. It pleased him to do so. And he gives us preserving grace. He's the one who keeps us. He's the one who protects us, even amidst this global pandemic we are in, we can look to Christ just like we looked to Christ last year, just like we looked to Christ a month ago. And just like if the Lord allows us to live however many years he allows us to live, we will continue just to look to Christ and him alone as believers. And he gives us his preserving grace. He keeps us because it pleases him to do so. So knowing then that salvation is of the Lord, and knowing that these evidences which we'll look at tonight, these evidences of salvation, knowing that they are a work of God within the believer, we see that so-called human merit has absolutely nothing to do with our salvation, because it is God who chose us in Christ. It is God who redeemed us in Christ. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who regenerated us by the power and work of God the Holy Spirit. And it's God who's called us to Lord Jesus Christ. It's God who's given us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God who's given us repentance before him. It's God who's done this for the believer. It's his work in us, beloved. It's God who chose us in Christ. It's God the Son who redeemed us with his precious blood. It's God the Holy Spirit who regenerated us by his almighty power. And the believer says, praise his mighty name for doing this. Praise his mighty name. So think upon this, that the grace we now enjoy in and through the Lord Jesus Christ was given to us according to God's glorious sovereign purpose in Christ before the world began. And the fact that salvation is of the Lord, as Jonah proclaimed in Jonah 2:9, this wonderful truth strips away any human pride and any human merit. And it gives us a sure ground of confidence, assurance only in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him alone. It's God who's done this, beloved. It's a work of God by his almighty power. And the fact that salvation is of the Lord, as Jonah proclaimed in Jonah 2:9, it strips away human pride. And again, it gives us a sure ground of confidence and assurance to our faith in Christ Jesus, in him alone, knowing that we are only saved by God's grace and God's mercy in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this precious truth of salvation is of the Lord highly exalts and honors the name, the person, and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. This truth of salvation is of the Lord gives hope to the sinner, gives hope to sinners. It actually encourages evangelism among God's people too. Some folks say that if you believe in the doctrine of election, that it actually discourages evangelism. No, quite the opposite. It encourages evangelism because we know that the Lord has a people out there, and all we do is proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to whomever the Lord allows us to by opening the door of utterance for us, and we leave it in the Lord's hands. We pray, of course, for that person, and we pray for them. If they're a loved one, we pray for them till they breathe their last breath. Never give up hope on your loved ones until they breathe their last breath. Continue to pray for the salvation of your friends and family and co-workers, because only God can save them. And this precious truth of salvation is of the Lord, and the precious truth of God's electing grace, it encourages evangelism, because we do not know who the elect of God are, but God knows who they are. And Christ has told us in his scripture that all that the Father give him will come to him. So what an encouragement to proclaim the free grace of God and salvation, knowing that salvation is of the Lord and knowing that it's all by his almighty power. Now we see in verse 5 that the word of God came to the believers at Thessalonica, not in word only, but in power. We spent a lot of time last week just looking at verse 5 and seeing how the power there mentioned is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And we also see in verse 5 that the Apostle Paul brings forth that the gospel comes to the saints of God. It comes to them. They don't go looking for it. No, it comes to them. They are drawn to a place where they will hear the gospel of salvation in and through Christ alone. And then they are granted faith to believe. being born again by the Holy Spirit of God, by his almighty power. And then the word comes to them, just like it did to the Thessalonian saints, not in word only, but all in power of the Holy Spirit of God, and in much assurance. But it's all according to the sovereign will and purpose of God. The gospel comes to you. The gospel comes to me. The gospel came to the Thessalonian saints. The lost sheep of God does not look for Christ. The shepherd comes and seeks them out. And so Paul brings forth that those who are born again by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, through the word of God, the preaching of the word of God, which the Holy Spirit illuminates and applies to our heart and regenerates us and gives us faith to believe the word that is being preached, it also brings great conviction of our sin, doesn't it? It sure does. It brings great conviction of our sin. But it also, we see in verse 5, brings a blessed assurance to those in Christ, to those who are born again. With that in mind, let us now look at some of the evidence of salvation wrought in the born-again, blood-washed believer. And keep in mind, again, this is all by the power and the might of God, the Holy Spirit. It's all by God. It cannot be manufactured by man. Let's look at verse 6 here. First, we see that the Thessalonian saints, after that they had heard the word of God with power, and after it came to them in much assurance, we see then that they became followers of the apostles, and we know that is as they followed Christ. They didn't follow Paul per se and vault him up. They followed Paul as he followed Christ. Look at verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So those born-again saints of God, Thessalonian believers, embraced the doctrine of Christ, which Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy proclaimed. And they recognized the authority of these preachers. They recognized them as spiritual leaders sent from God. Sent from God. Never forget that your pastor is a spiritual leader sent from God to lead the church, to preach and proclaim the gospel. And they're God sent. They're God sent to do this. My, oh my. And they've been given authority by God the Father and the Holy Spirit. And they preach and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they acknowledge that. They follow God's preachers as they follow Christ. And we see also that the saints at Thessalonica received the word in much affliction, the scripture says in verse 6. Not only did they receive the word in much affliction, but they received it with joy of the Holy Ghost. See, if you try to muster up joy in your heart by something you do, it's fleeting. It won't last. The joy spoken of in the scripture is a fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It can't be mustered up by man's doing. It can't be mustered up by man's doing. It's a work of God, the Holy Spirit, within the believer. If you try to muster up joy on your own, you're going to fail. You're going to fall flat in your face. That's what's going to happen. But if that joy is produced by the Holy Spirit of God, it gives a great joy. I was talking to Brother John yesterday on the phone. Wonderful talk with our dear Brother John. And he said, I'm not afraid to die, Brother Wayne, if I get this virus, because that means I step into eternity. Now, he's not deliberately going out and trying to get infected. No, none of us would do that. But what he's saying is what every true born-again believer would say is that we don't fear death. Because we know eternity's waiting for us. Now, what's waiting for the unbeliever? Oh, my goodness. You know, everlasting torment. Everlasting torment. The wrath of God upon them. Oh, my. But for the believer, everlasting joy. Everlasting rest. Oh, my goodness. What a great God we have. What a great God we have. So, they received the word of God. And they received it in much affliction. They were being tried. They were being persecuted for their faith. They faced much opposition for their confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see in verse 6 that they did it with joy of the Holy Ghost. My, these followers of the Lord Jesus Christ stood fast. They clung to him in his glorious gospel truths. that gives him all the glory. So you see, salvation is of the Lord. When we preach and proclaim that as preachers, and even when the believer proclaims that and acknowledges that, that gives all the glory to God, beloved. That gives him all the honor. That gives him all the praise. That says salvation's from beginning to end. That he's the Alpha and the Omega, just like the scripture says. And that glorifies God, beloved. Now, these Thessalonian believers, they probably had family members turn against them. Many of us have had our own family turn against us for our confession of Christ, where they don't want to have anything to do with us anymore. Or if they do, it's just all surface talk. They don't even want to speak to you about the things of Christ. I've experienced that in my walk. My wife has experienced that in her walk in Christ. It's sad, but it happens. Now, do we still pray for our family and our loved ones who despise us and who do not want to hear about the word of God? Of course we do. With tears, we lift them up, asking and begging the Lord to save them if it be his will. Oh, yes. So they probably had their own family members turned against them. We know this from the words of our master, that some believers have experienced the truth of our master's words, which are these. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. Or for from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son and the son against the father. The mother against the daughter and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Luke chapter 12 verses 51 to 53. These are words of our master. And note, and not only did some of the family members turn against them, but no doubt some of their close friends also turned against them. These born-again believers. We know that they at one time, some of them were pagan idolaters. They worshiped the gods of their own imagination and they turned from them. But those who were still left in their sin, left in that pagan worship of idols, turned against these believers who turned from those idols. They turned against them. They persecuted them. But this verse here brings forth, they received the word in much affliction, in persecution, but they received it with joy of the Holy Ghost. That's that peace that passes all understanding, that the world will not understand that the believer has in Christ. Now, why were they persecuted? Well, they were persecuted and they suffered affliction because they believed what the Word of God said. They're born again of the Holy Spirit of God. They're given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been given eyes to see Christ and ears to hear the voice of the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the preaching of his glorious gospel. And they saw their desperate need of Christ. They saw their need of being saved from their sins. They'd been shown by the Holy Spirit of God that Christ alone is the only Savior of sinners. Now, one sure way to know that your heart is wrong is to despise what the preacher proclaims from the Word of God, or to have a haughty spirit, to be unteachable under the preaching of the gospel. When this is brought forth, when this type of spirit is brought forth, this haughty, unteachable spirit, that so-called believer is in a very, very bad spot, beloved. They are in a very, very bad spot. Because God's people, we receive the Word of God. We receive the Word of God in much affliction and with joy in the Holy Ghost, don't we? And these true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they had received the Word in much affliction. The Scripture says this over in 1 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Beloved of Christ, beloved of the Lord, these Thessalonian saints live that verse. Again, I'll read it again. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They lived that verse, beloved. That verse was real for them. And we who are the born-again, blood-washed saints of God know as they that absolutely no one is in Christ unless we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world by the Father, by God our Father. And we who are born again, blood-washed saints of God, know as they knew, as these Thessalonian believers knew, that absolutely no one is in Christ Jesus unless we were in him when he honored God's law for us by his perfect walk before our Heavenly Father. That fact that when we were in him when he established a perfect righteousness for all of his chosen people. And we who are the born-again, blood-washed saints of God know, as the Thessalonian saints knew, that absolutely no one is in Christ Jesus unless we were in him as our substitute when he endured the wrath of God on Calvary's cross in our room instead when he obtained eternal redemption for us. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Gave himself for me. My, oh my. And we who are the born-again, blood-washed saints of God know, as these Thessalonian believers knew, that absolutely no one is in Christ unless we were in him when he was buried and when he raised again from the dead and when he entered into heaven for us, there to appear in the presence of God for us. And when he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, beloved, we are seated in the heavenlies with him, the scriptures declare. And we who are the born-again, blood-washed saints of God know, as these Thessalonian believers knew, that absolutely no one is in Christ Jesus unless we were placed in his body, the church, by the sovereign, irresistible power of God, the Holy Spirit, when he raised us from our state of natural spiritual deadness. My. And beloved of God, we who are in Christ Jesus are in Christ Jesus by God's mercy and by his grace and by virtue of the miracle of the new birth. And those who are born again will live godly in Christ Jesus and shall suffer persecution. Shall suffer persecution. Persecution from places you never thought it would ever come from. My goodness. But like the saints at Thessalonica, all of God's saints received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost. All true followers of Jesus Christ believe the same gospel. These saints at Thessalonica believed, and all who believe will suffer much affliction. The true gospel of God's amazing grace through the merits of Christ alone, purposed by God for a particular people before time began, is hated by all unregenerate people and absolutely infuriates false religions. They hate that truth. They hate that truth. And our Lord Jesus Christ separates his sheep from the goats under the preaching of his glorious gospel, the gospel of the free and sovereign grace of God in Christ alone. We know, as the scriptures declare, he didn't come to bring peace to the whole mass of fallen humanity. He came to bring peace to the hearts of his chosen, blood-bought, born-again people. And he does this by calling us to himself under the preaching of the gospel of salvation in Christ alone. And all true followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they cling to him. They cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. They love his gospel. They love the truths that are brought forth in it. And by God's grace, even when we suffer much affliction because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will continue to cling to him by the grace of God. And we shall not be moved away from the hope of his gospel by the grace of God. Even if the whole world turns against us, by God's grace, we will cling to Christ. We will cling to Christ, whether father or mother or close friend or even your brother or sister in Christ turn against you and persecute you. You still cling to Christ. He's the only hope of believers. He's the only hope. Remember, again, the words of the Master in John 15:18-20. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because I have chosen you out of the world, look at that. Christ has chosen his people out of the world. When? In eternity. The Father gave a people to Christ. In eternity, beloved. Marvelous truth. Wondrous truth. Therefore, the world hateth you. It hates us. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Again, John 15:18-20. Now let's read, with that in mind, let's read verses 7 and 8 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. They were young in the faith. They were a young church. They were indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God and by his grace and by his power. And even through the affliction, the much affliction they were going through, beloved, they continued in the faith, even though they suffered much affliction. So much so that they were examples to other believers in different parts of the country. Look at what the word of God proclaims about them in verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Those saints at Thessalonica evidenced their faith by their love for the Lord Jesus Christ and their love for his gospel and their love for his preachers and their love for one another. They sought to gather together, not to exalt one another, but to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, not to make a play for power. No, they gathered together. They gathered together for the furtherance of the gospel. That was why they gathered together. They were saved by the same Holy Spirit of God. They were washed clean by the same precious blood. The Lord Jesus Christ shed his precious blood, which cleanses a believer from all sin, which was shed at Calvary's cross for the remission of our sins. No, that's who they had the same Father, beloved God. They had the same Father. And so they were together going forth in their faith in Christ Jesus for the furtherance of the gospel, to proclaim salvation is of the Lord, to proclaim the wondrous message of the gospel. And so it was evidenced, again, their salvation was evidenced by their love for Christ, for the Lord Jesus Christ, by their love for his gospel, by their love for his preachers, by their love for his God's word, by their love for each other, for one another. And like the two on the road to Emmaus, their hearts burned within them when the Lord Jesus Christ enlightened their minds to the meaning of the Holy Scriptures. Their hearts burned within them. They were excited about the gospel. Oh my. And they heard the gospel, and by God-given faith, they believed what they heard. And they supported the gospel with their attendance, with their prayers, with their finances. And it was a labor of love for them. They supported the gospel for the furtherance of the gospel. As Pastor Henry Mahan said in his Bible class commentary, they became witnesses, evangelists, and missionaries. A person who has been chosen to salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ and bought to a living, vital union with Christ will carry a great burden for all people. He will witness to others and cheerfully support those who preach the gospel. End quote. And all saints who believe the true gospel are overwhelmed with joy when they hear of others who have been given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they hear of others who are sounding out the word of the Lord, they rejoice. They rejoice. Paul wrote these words about those who are true followers of Christ at Thessalonica. In every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. The churches that had been established in the truth, who were meeting in different locations, had heard about the work our Lord Jesus Christ had done in the hearts of the saints at Thessalonica. And of course, we know they rejoiced, just as we rejoice when we hear that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved one of his lost sheep. And notice that there were others who were talking about what God had done for the saints at Thessalonica, not what they had done for God. See, that's the difference between a religionist and a true born-again believer. Now, a religionist will want to tell you all kinds of things that they've done for God. And trust me, you can spot them a mile off. You can just listen to their words. They'll tell you, I've done this for God, and I've done that. In my church, we did this, and we did that for God. But the true born-again believer, the true saint of God, tells people what God has done for them, what God has done for the group that's assembled here. He saved us by his grace and by his mercy. It's a work of God. And just having a church here is by the mercy and grace of God. Just having a church that we could attend to. Right now, we're not able to attend. But praise God, we know that down the road we will be able to. And it should make us even more grateful for the fact that we have a place to attend by God's grace and by God's mercy, where the gospel is being preached and proclaimed. It's absolutely wonderful. So the way to tell the difference between grace believers and religionists is that religionists tell you what they're doing for God and what their churches are doing for God. But grace believers, we tell what God has done for us. We tell people, God has saved me by his grace and by his mercy. Look what God has done. This is a miracle. Salvation is a miracle of grace. is wondrous. And we say, look what God's doing with the church. Look how he's using the church for his glory. It's absolutely incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. See, he's talking like a grace man. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. Listen to who gets the glory. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the preaching of the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. So Paul, in that proclamation in Romans chapter 1, he gives all the glory to God. He says, look what God's done for us. Look what he's done. So the grace believer, the true born-again believer, we don't talk about what we've done for God. No, we talk about what Christ has done for us. We talk and we proclaim his wondrous works. Oh, the Lord saved me by his grace. I was dead spiritually. I was dead. I didn't have a care for the things of God. But he's given me an interest in Christ now. He saved me by his grace. I'm born again by his Holy Spirit. I've been given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a miracle of grace that is. God gets all the glory for that. All of it. Oh my. Every true believer knows this to be true. Our great majestic God is the one who has delivered us from the power of darkness. It is he who has translated us into the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We could not have raised ourselves from our state of spiritual deadness that we were in our natural state. We could not have set ourselves free from the prison house of unbelief, in the prison house of sin that we were in. We had no power to do that. We could not have delivered ourselves from the power of darkness or the power of Satan or the power of sin. And the reason we know we couldn't have delivered ourselves from any of that, because Jesus Christ alone is our only deliverer. It is he who has delivered us from ourselves. It is he who has set us free from the prison house of unbelief. It is he who has set us free from the prison house of sin. It is he who has delivered us from the power of darkness and set us free by his almighty power. It is he who has delivered us from the power of sin and the power of Satan. Jesus Christ and him alone is our great deliverer, beloved. He's our great deliverer. Give him all the glory, give him all the honor, and give him all the praise. Let's read verses 9 and 10 now. We see more evidence of the saints at Thessalonica's election by God. That we see more, again, more evidence of their salvation in Christ, and that their salvation is of the Lord. Look, 1 Thessalonians 1:9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now we know as we looked at just a few seconds ago, that we've been delivered from a state of spiritual deadness. We've been delivered from the prison house of sin. We've been delivered from the prison house of unbelief, all by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those of us who served idols, like these folks, I was a Catholic. I served idols. Catholic Church is full of idols, beloved, full of idols. The Lord delivered me from those idols, the idol of Mary, all them saints that people pray to. Those are all idols, beloved. All idols. It's nothing but idol worship. But the Lord delivered his people. We see, look at verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, they couldn't have done that by themselves. They didn't have the power to turn themselves from these idols, just as they didn't have the power to raise themselves from spiritual deadness that they were in. No, God turned them. God turned them by his almighty power. And they turned. When they're turned by the power of God, oh, they turned, didn't they? They turned. They turned from those idols. My, it says, they turn from serving idols. They turn from serving sin. They've been given repentance before God. They turn from the sinful lifestyle that they once loved. And they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, it says. They turned to serve the living and true God. Oh my, they turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. They turned to the living and true God because they were turned by the almighty power of our great God. And brethren, the blood of Jesus Christ that was sprinkled on the minds of those saints by the power of God the Holy Spirit is the same blood that is sprinkled on our conscience by the same power, the power of God. This is what purges our hearts from dead works to serve Christ, the true and living God, is his precious, precious blood. Now, I don't know if any of the hearers here have ever bowed down to graven images made with hands of gods of silver and wood, but we all had our own idols too. It might have been money. It might have been pleasure. It might have been self. It might have been ambition. It might have been a seeking power. It might have been a God created from the idol factory of our hearts and imaginations. But we've all turned away from those things, just as these Thessalonian believers have turned away from the idols that they once served, that they once bowed down to. We who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, now we serve the true and living God. It's he who has saved us from our sins. It is he who keeps us from falling. And it is he who will one day present us faultless before God's throne. The Lord Jesus Christ will do this. Let's close with verse 10. Oh, this verse characterizes again all of God's enlightened children. This is another evidence of salvation. I had no hope before the Lord saved me. I didn't wait for his coming. I didn't look for his coming. I didn't care. I didn't care. But oh, praise God, he's given me a hope now. He's given me a hope in Christ. And that's a hope Brother John was talking about. That when we die, we have a hope. We'll go right to glory. Into eternity we go. Oh, praise his mighty name. Praise his mighty name. Look at verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Beloved of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is the great deliverer of his people. He delivers us from spiritual blindness. He reveals to us what we are, sinners by birth, nature, and choice. He purges us from our sins by the shedding of his precious blood. And he turns us from idols, gods of our own imagination. And he turns us to himself to serve the true and living God. And we say, praise his mighty name for doing that for us. And our Lord gave these saints at Thessalonica preserving grace to wait for his Son from heaven. And he does that for all of his born-again, blood-washed saints. He gives us the same preserving grace that he gave to them to wait for our appointed time of departure from this life, whether it be at our death or whether it be when the Lord returns. In Christ, all believers have been made fit for eternal glory. And all who are bought to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are made fit by God. That is, they are worthy and qualified right now for entrance into everlasting glory. And our standing, beloved, never forget this. The believer standing in Christ, our standing is complete in Christ. And that shall never change. We are accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul told this to the Corinthian believers, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Our sins, which are many, are pardoned, beloved. They're all pardoned. The Lord has stripped us of our robe of self-righteous rags and sinfulness, and he has clothed us in the garments of Christ's righteousness. Therefore, Christ is now and always shall be our fitness. Our fitness. We are qualified for heaven in Christ. Praise his mighty name. Praise his mighty name. Amen and amen.